time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for another Saturday morning here on Fox Sports 1280. Sad Saturday, and I'll explain why in just a second. We have a good friend of ours, Russell Frey, that passed away this past week, and we found out the day after Christmas at the 26th of December in a post on Twitter from AEW, and I'll read to you what that says. The All Elite Wrestling family is heartbroken in an industry filled with good people. John Huber was exceptionally respected and beloved in every way. A fierce and captivating talent, a thoughtful mentor, and simply a very kind soul that starkly contradicted his persona as Mr. Brody Lee. John's love for his wife Amanda and children Brody and Nolan was evident to all of us who were fortunate to spend time with him, and we send our love and support to his beautiful family today and always. John's popularity among his peers and influence on the wrestling world was worldwide and transcending AEW. So this loss will be felt by many for a long time. We are privileged at AEW to call John Huber a brother, a friend, and one of our own. And he passed away at the age of 41 this past Saturday night. Let me bring the guys on the show. I'm the Cash Man. I'm joined by DC Dan Cole, the Artiste, Danger Boy, and Furby. And guys, this was just the ultimate punch to the gut, because we love the man. We've loved him for such a very long time. And unfortunately, things go wrong sometimes. And sometimes, the fickle finger of fate picks out the one you least expect, and that's what happened this past Saturday. We want to tell some stories, and we want to tell, and some things we know, because we were friends. We're all friends with him, and we all had some interactions with him, not just by watching him on TV, but he did start here in Rochester. But Danger, you're the first guy I know that knew him, and just tell me how you met John Huber. Back then, I believe Brody Lee, maybe he was
Huber Boy 2.
Huber Boy 2, the right stuff, right?
He wasn't even right stuff yet. This was 2001. It was shortly after Rock City Wrestling started, and we ran shows in Gates, and we ran two shows that had pretty decent sized crowds for absolutely no promotion and nobody knowing exactly what they're doing at all. So we started bringing on some more people to have a little bit longer shows, a little bit less than wrestling three times a show type deal. And the guy who was running at the time, his name's Larry, decided that he wanted to kind of show off what he had come up with to some of the guys he had done some backyard stuff with previously. And John was among that group. And John first came in, and I think he did his first show for us in October of 2001. And I just remember looking at him and going, this is the only guy we have on the roster that has a chance to be an actual professional wrestler. And from that day forward, I kept an eye on him. Back then I was helping write the shows and that kind of stuff too. So it was, it was always nice to have someone that he was big, but he was also very good at what he did. And he was a natural at it. Back then we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have training. He went on to train after that fact, but you couldn't really tell. He was one of those guys that just stood out from the start, both personality and wrestling wise. And then from there with wrestling, we also started a softball team that had a lot of the wrestlers on it. And John went on to be one of the most improved softball players I've ever seen in my life. 'Cause his first game with us, he couldn't play first base to save his life. And by the time the next season started, he was the best first baseman I'd ever played with. And I don't know how. So a lot of my good memories with John, with Huberboy 2, Brody Lee, Luke Harper, were outside of wrestling completely. And they were more of going and playing softball and having fun doing that, or him riling up a backstop full of bees because we had just lost a game and a team we didn't like was going to be sitting on that side next. So, yeah. So long story short, met John for the first time in 2001. And the last time I saw him was actually in Buffalo at a Burt Kreischer stand-up comedy show. And there's a bunch of other stand-ups. I believe Danny was there as well. And the seats in front of me were empty, and I had a really good view of the stage. And I said, I really hope some really tall guy doesn't sit there. And John and his wife sat down directly in front of me, and I just looked at him and said, really? And then we had a good laugh about that and caught up a bit there. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, I want to add a little bit to what you said for a second. We were doing the show since 1998. So we started in November of 1998. And Danger, when you got hooked up with RCW, he was always saying, you know, hey, we've done a show. We had a lot of people there. Why don't you come? And so it's like, so I decided, I think it's like the second show you guys did, I came. And I sat in the crowd and I booed all the good guys and I cheered all the bad guys. And you know, I think one of the biggest things I remember was people were getting mad at me for cheering the bad guys and booing the good guys. But I particularly remember for HB2 and about how, like, you know, first of all, he was 6'7", 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". I don't know. You could write it all over the place. But, I automatically think when we think of WWE superstars, you think of guys who are big. So that automatically, you know, he fit that description. He just needed to fill out a bit. But he was a young kid. And very entertaining. I mean, it's him, Rob Superstar Schultz, and who is it? They were like a trio tag team.
Well, they started together, and they ended up by two or three shows later, they added Freddie Franchise. Yeah. Or Freddie Midnight, and had a great combination together, and just oozing personality, and John was the enforcer and the leader of the group. So it was very, very entertaining to watch.
You might remember my infamous picture from that first show I went to with him with the two in front of his face. So you really can't even see him, but you see him holding up the two fingers, you know, and that if you look around, you can find that picture being probably multiplied all over the place. But I just remember that Rob Superstar Schultz carried all his two teammates back to the locker room after they had lost the match. And we're talking HB2 being, and Rob Superstar Schultz, who probably was 100 pounds less than him, and Freddie Franchise all being carried by Rob Superstar Schultz. So it was, you know, it was one of those things. I had a good time. It was a lot of fun, and it was really cool way to meet the guys. And then I'm hanging out after, and as soon as they were done, they were taking the ring down and like doing work and stuff. But they were all young, and they're all just coming up. And you were correct. They weren't trained. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, honestly, they probably figured out how to do it when they were doing the backyard stuff. You know, how to do the things correctly. Because I've seen some of the videos of the backyard stuff, and they definitely were doing the elbow drops correctly and things like that. But I will say that, yeah, he did impress me. And I always thought, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, of all, and I'm not just, you know, it's a different story nowadays with some of the smaller guys that are in the business. But I always felt at that time it was Land of the Giants Titan. And that's why I always felt maybe he had an advantage to a lot of the guys because of, you know, genetics. But how about you, Artiste? When did you first meet Mr. Brody Lee? Mr. John Huber.
It would have been August of 2000 at New Millennium Wrestling at the Ukrainian Club. I won tickets to that show on a radio show called The Pain Clinic. I sat down in the front row across from the stage, and around the corner to my left was a group of people, including John and Colin and others. And so through that... you know, I started kind of volunteering, doing whatever I could the very next show. And it wasn't long after that that, you know, a lot of those guys had kind of started training and things like that. So got to know him more, you know, as things progressed locally into like RPW. He had trained more what then became NWA Upstates and, you know, different interactions. I mean, whether I was doing ringside camera or... commentating, ring announcing, whatever the case is over the years. For me, it was kind of it kind of increased. We became good friends like later when I was in high school and then in college, and he would start to work Philly a little bit. But for me, it picked up quite a bit right after I graduated college in 2008. I blew out my knee right after graduating, moved back to Rochester, and wasn't working yet. Could pull back all my applications, didn't really have anything to do. So at that point, John was like, I'm working here this weekend, I'm going here this weekend, whatever. And I was just kind of became his ride along for quite a while, where we were going to, you know, Montreal, Toronto, Philly, whatever the case was, every weekend. And, you know, a lot of times that happens in indie wrestling where, you know, like a wrestler wants to get a booking or maybe there's a spot that opens up, whatever. I wasn't in that situation. I was just, cool, I get to go to Montreal and hang out with friends and stuff. And, you know, we used to get together and watch Raw with a few other wrestlers every Monday and have hour-long debates about Batista and all sorts of stuff like that. And, you know, obviously he did the radio show with us for a bit. You know, I started to get a little more involved in the local scene with Pier 6 and Lakeshore and 2CW and all that stuff. And, you know, we just we had the bond more than anything really on the hockey side. And so just became better friends over the years. He got signed and, you know, was fortunate enough to, you know, my life has taken me to a lot of different locations and stuff, and I've been able to kind of see him in those different locations and maintain that friendship, and it meant a lot. I'll be honest with you, Rich, like I could ramble on for 6 hours. Sure. Easily of memories with him, and I'm not going to do that, but you know, some of my favorite trips, some of my favorite moments, my favorite regular season hockey broadcast ever was with him earlier this year. There's memories that pop up constantly, and it's just, that's kind of at least, you know, the really long version of how I met him. But I don't know, I'm sure we'll get into more memories and specifics, but I just, first and foremost, I just want to say, like, for you know, we've all kind of known him for so long, and I'm really damn proud of everything he accomplished. And we all know that he was an even better person and father and everything else. And I'm going to cut myself off and share more. But yeah, I mean, that's it's 20 years. I mean, it's a long time.
It is. I agree. How about you, DC?
Well, you know, I consider myself late to the game on John. I didn't really expose myself as much to the independent wrestling scene in the Rochester area, you know, until well after he had established himself. But, you know, luckily through being able to become a part of the Pain Clinic, I did get to meet him on several occasions. I think the first time I ever met him was very briefly when we had the after party for him after SmackDown at Salvatore's. You know, he was just kind of going around meeting everybody. And I think Mark Fantasia, the Mark, posted a picture of me and him, you know, with John. And that was the first time meeting him. You know, but the one that really sticks out to me, Cash, was a couple of years ago before WrestleMania. And he was home, and you had sent out a message to the group saying, you know, hey, I'm producing Weeze's show, and John's going to be on. And I'm going to see if we can interview him afterwards. If anybody's available, come on up. I immediately, just because at this point, you know, I can't say he was a friend to me, but I, without shame, will say I was a fan of his. I was 100% a fanboy. Like, I jumped at the opportunity. Oh, my God, I get to go hang out with Luke Harper for a little bit. Oh, my God, that's going to be awesome. Like, I was a kid. So I told my work, I'm like, hey, I'm not coming in the morning. You know, I'll be in the afternoon. And I came out to Rochester with you. And I sat in on the Wii show. And then, you know, we had the chance to interview him afterwards. And we took a picture with him. And again, I'm not ashamed to admit it, total fanboy. Like, I was kind of looking at him, and he looks at me, he goes, you want another picture with me, don't you? I'm like, yeah, just me and you without Cash in it, like, you know, just for me.
Thanks.
And he didn't, he noticed, like, yeah. Okay, here's this grown man, but I can tell he's a fan, so I'm going to humor him. You know, so he was very gracious, took the picture with me, And again, full honesty, later on that day, don't ask me how, don't ask me why, I check my phone. I'm like, oh, I have a friend request. And it was Jonathan Huber has added you as a friend on Facebook. And like, I was over the moon. I'm like, oh my God, he added me as a friend. which kind of led me to the only funny story I could think to share was when he almost unfriended me. Because before WrestleMania, I got my wife's off-the-cuff predictions for the event, and I ran through the card, and I said, okay, it's a New Day versus the Usos versus the Blood Brothers. Who you got? And she goes, well, I hope the Bludgeon Brothers don't win because that's a god-awful name, and if they try to do anything, I might vomit. And I posted it online because I don't care. And he comments, he goes, I'm pretty sure I have to unfriend you. I'm like, okay. I would have been down for it. And then it was funny to hear Danger Boy mention, you know, his last encounter with him was at that Burt Kreischer show in Buffalo, because I was also there. And me and Danger each knew that we were going to be there. And Danger's texting me at intermission of the show. He goes, you know who else is here? I'm like, no, who? He goes, Huber's here. I go, really? I'd like to see him. He goes, you probably shouldn't go see him. And later on, Danger Boy tells me how he was talking to him at the show. And he mentioned, oh, yeah, Dan from the Pain Clinic's also here. He goes, immediately he stood up and goes, I'm going to go F with him. And I guess his wife grabbed him and sat him down. I was like, no, you're not going to make a scene. You're going to sit down. And, you know, and honestly, like, that's my contribution to the Huber stories. But to sum it up right there, you know, strictly I was a fan. And he was kind enough to acknowledge that and kind of embrace it. And even though he had only really met me once before, he was about to go out of his way to mess with me at the Burt Kreischer show, which to me still, you know, just blows my mind.
Big time. Ferbs, I know that you're new and you're young and you may not have had any experiences with Mr. Jonathan Huber, but did you have any close encounters with him in your time before here?
So what I want to say is, like, obviously I don't have the relationship with him like you guys did, but I can say, and probably my favorite moment, obviously I'm a big fan, and when I first got back into wrestling in 2014, the Wyatt family was a big deal. And I was actually, and I say I'm honored, because when he first got his real, like, singles push or singles run in WWE, he was Intercontinental Champion, and I was, you know, I saw him at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs and Stairs 2014, at the Q Arena, Quicken Zones Arena in Cleveland. He opened up the show against Dolph Ziggler. Well, they're in Cleveland, and Dolph Ziggler is obviously the fan favorite. He's the hometown boy. And I was sitting on the floor, and me being from Rochester, I was the only one rooting for Luke Harper, and I made sure it was well known, and everybody was looking at me. And I mean, like, I never got to meet him. But that's one thing that I'll always remember, and always will be a fan.
Cool. Well, we got to go a break on that. We'll come back and share some more memories of you of Luke Harper here on the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic, the John Huber tribute show. The Right Stuff, Brody Lee, is one of his themes coming out. I think if he was around, he probably would poke me in the head or something if he could do that. But welcome back to the show. We're sitting there having some thoughts and memories of Jonathan Huber, who passed away this past Saturday at the age of 41. You know, he just had his birthday, like it was a week and a half ago, too. We had sent our best out to him, and But I kind of want to talk a little bit about the last time I bumped into him. And the last time I saw him in Rochester was back when UFC was in town. There was a UFC fight night in town about a year and a half ago. And I bumped into him and his brother Chris. And this was after the show had ended. And they were hanging out. And he said, I'm going to get in the octagon. And I said, what? And he's like, I'm going to get in the octagon. They're going to bring me in the octagon and let me mess around in there a little bit. And it's like, and it's like, it's funny, is one thing that we had in common, where it was, we were both fans of UFC. I mean, that's what, when we played softball together, we always were talking about the UFC from the night before most of the time. I remember because I played in that softball team that Danger was talking about too. I mean, I was like the worst player, so that means I was the catcher. And but I still played, and we would always talk. He'd be coming back from Philly from Ring of Honor shows, and he was telling me all about what he was doing in Ring of Honor at the time when he was, you know, actually him and, Black. What was his name again? Seth Rollins.
Tyler Black.
Yeah, he was talking about how they were working together. He was part of their group for a while, and the scum was going on with Matt Hardy at the time there. And he and I would talk UFC. So I bumped into him at quite a few UFCs. I saw him at the very first one in Buffalo. That was the very first one allowed back in New York after like a 20-year hiatus. And I saw him there with a bunch of people, and we got, you know, you might have seen a friend of mine shared it on Facebook, the picture that I was like, I didn't want to be in it, but he took it anyways of us three, and I was kind of like in the background making faces. But so we had bumped into each other at the one here in Rochester, and it's like I wanted to hang around, but they were telling us to get out of the building. But him and his brother Chris were going straight for the Octagon at the end of the show. And then I saw some pictures from that later, which were awesome. He was like, got to, you know, he's a huge MMA fan, huge Washington football team fan, as well as, I believe, a Yankees, as well as the Toronto Maple Leafs. We all know that. I think I've seen more pictures of him in Toronto Maple Leafs gear in the last week than I've ever seen. But, you know, that's the love is for those Maple Leafs. So, you know, but one other thing I do want to mention is another time when DC and I were talking to him, when we met him here up in the studio a couple of years ago, like DC's story, we talked with him a little bit about some stuff off the record. And I guess I can talk about it because one of the things he talked about is how concerned he was for Daniel Bryan coming back from that major injury that he had had. And he was really, really worried for him. But he said he and Daniel were good friends, and that he expressed to him how he was nervous for him every time he went out. This is like completely, you know, off the record. We were talking about this stuff, which was really pretty cool. It shows you how much he really cared for the guys he worked with too. But also we talked about, how his vision was, if he never went back, to WWE, he would love to have gotten all the Rochester wrestling groups together and had one big group here in town here that could put on shows. He was super excited. He wanted to bring people together. He felt there was too much, separation in Rochester. There's a lot of guys that had good things to offer that weren't working together. And I thought that was really a pretty cool thing too, because I mean, he's one guy who got to work for everybody in Rochester. When there was a time when there was edicts down saying nobody could work for certain groups from other groups, he didn't care. He worked for whoever he wanted, and he worked for everybody. So I thought that was really, really cool. And I think it kind of happened too with, like, you know, unfortunately with his passing, everybody in the wrestling world sent their love. You know, it didn't matter if they were AEW, WWE, Impact Wrestling, you know, any of the indies he's worked for, CZW, all these guys were sending their love. And it was just amazing how they all, you know, were in the same, you know, same mind of what a great guy this guy was and what great he was for the business. So I thought that, maybe he kind of brought people together that way as well. And I think maybe he over-jumped what he thought he was going to do by that happening. But it's sad that it had to come down to this to make it happen. But you see that there is similarities amongst everybody, and they all did love this guy. And it's just some of the people talking about it just really got me weepy every time they started talking. If I, you know, Xavier Woods, if I see him again, I'm going to start crying. So, but do anyone have any thoughts? I'm throwing out like some of the things that, you know, I mean, Rob, you drove with him all over.
Quick note on that. I was just going to say with 2CW, the reunion show that's scheduled, the person who's responsible for that reunion show happening is John Huber. Like he was egging on Josh, the promoter, for a long time. You got to do a reunion show. Josh had no interest in it whatsoever, things like that. The only reason that that's supposed to happen is John. And I don't want to go too into detail, but I know he was supposed to certainly be a big part of it as well, too, which is – that's obviously changed quite a bit now, too. But definitely agree with that. I mean, for somebody who didn't always want to talk about wrestling, he also – I mean, like you're talking about, he was such a big part of ideas and helping people and – I can tell you the first time that I booked him for a match was a show in Hamlin, an old Lakeshore wrestling show, and he refused to win. like, we got in an argument for a minute because he was just like, no, I need to lose this match, whatever, because he didn't. He was about helping everybody else. You know, a lot of what you heard on AEW this week is, you know, him just going out of his way to help people, to mentor people, to elevate people, to buy them gear out of nowhere, all sorts of stuff like that. That's just the type of person he was.
Danger, you have any thoughts? I mean, I know that you actually sat in booking with him before, so, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I've sat with him and booked matches and stuff like that, and it's like Rob said, he was all about helping the other people. We wanted to, I think we booked him as a double champion one time, and he almost refused to take it, and ended up giving up the second belt like the next show just because he's like, someone else needs to have this. You know, I'm nothing special type deal. He was always about helping other people, and it was awesome. I mean, it was, you don't see that in wrestling at all. And when everybody, even on the lower levels, which I never did anything in wrestling, I did a few local indie shows way back when, even there, you didn't see the kind of selfishness or selflessness that John had. And to hear it on the higher levels, you hear it from everybody yesterday. Darby talked about how he didn't really know John at all. And, you know, as soon as John came in, it was very apparent he wasn't there to take anybody's spot. He wasn't there to you know, be all about himself. He was there to help everybody else and help the company. And that's something you don't normally see. And if I hear any more of these commentaries, that's... The matches were tough enough to watch with Colt Cabana crying in the match, Anna Jay crying in the match, John Silver losing it after the match. But to hear everybody talking, to hear Moxley, to hear even Jason Jordan on the WWE one that came out, talking about how John was the first person to hold, other than his wife, to hold his daughter. Just,
yeah,
I can't take him anymore.
Yeah.
I bought stock in Kleenex this week specifically for that reason. It's been terrible. It's been terrible for me,
yeah,
not crying. And if you watch the Being the Elite stuff, that would definitely apply to me. And I can't repeat what he would say, but the clips that came out, I never watched that stuff before. They're absolutely hilarious, and I'd be having papers thrown in my face.
Okay, so yes. So we got to take another break, but I want to mention one thing, and maybe we'll get a round table real quick. How I've never felt more proud for a guy ever than the day he debuted in WWE. And I've never, you know, because, I mean, we've had guys in town here before who've been with WWE. But this is a guy who, as far as I knew, 2 years before, his back was injured. And he said he never was going to wrestle again. I think he was just playing me for a while. But he said that, you know, just he was having issues and he might just have to stop. But at the time that when he finally debuted in WWE, I mean, we went to WrestleMania the year before he debuted, and he was there at Access. He was down there working NXT and Access. And a lot of the guys in the area where I was sitting at WrestleMania all went, yeah, yeah, yeah. They all knew who he was. They all knew him from CZW down there and everything. And it's like, it was so exciting to say that, you know, to say everybody that I'm from the same hometown as this guy. But when he debuted, it was just, you know, just... It made me just so proud of him and proud to be a Rochesterian. And I mean, Rob, when he first debuted in WWE on TV, when the Wyatt family first made their first appearance, how did it make y'all feel?
It's hard to put that into words. Huge. I the best way I can think about it is like he was a really good friend, and you think back to when you were a kid and WWE wrestlers are like your heroes and they're superstars, they're celebrities, whatever. And then you're like, somebody I know actually made it. And then progressing to that, I remember 2014 sitting at Rubino's with Super Beast and like holding back crying as John's lifting the Intercontinental title. And I remember like the feeling of pride, like seeing him win that TNT title back in August too.
Yeah.
A very similar feeling, especially with that being kind of this resurgence and after having to sit out a little bit, you know, during his prime with all the end of his WWE contract and everything to see what he was able to do. I mean, there was a huge sense of pride, and we got robbed of that debut in Rochester.
Yeah.
I was really looking forward to flying up and experiencing that pop, being part of the people contributing to that pop in the arena in March. And we also got robbed of what he would have been world champion, yeah. And that would have trumped everything else. And it sucks that we don't get to see that, but incredibly proud of him.
What about you? What about you, DC, when you saw a local guy suddenly, you know, debuting on WWE TV?
Again, I have to echo a lot of what's already been said. And again, I knew him strictly as a fan, and just knowing that was the local guy on the flagship show of the top company, you know, in the wrestling business, it was just amazing to see. It's like, you're not used to getting that experience of someone like being from your hometown or where you grew up, like making it like that. It's hard enough to make it, but then to have the local connection was, again, just unbelievable. And, you know, based on everything everybody has said about him, you know, in the past week, to be honest, you know, there's some people when you see them make it, like, you know, they've maybe done underhanded things and it's like, okay, they made it, good for them, but I'm not really going to fully enjoy that. But with him, you 100%.
Yeah.
Got to enjoy it guilt-free. Like, he made it and he deserved it.
Danger, all you could think of was the bruises, right?
No, I never actually, the closest I came to wrestling Mr. Huber in a match was when he jumped off that turnbuckle in the picture you posted this past week from an old RCW show. We were always on the same side of the good guy, bad guy equation. So we never met in the matches. He did once take a picture with me after I got blasted in the head with a chair though, cause he thought it was hilarious. But, and that's my current profile picture. I'll never forget how funny he thought it was. I had a giant lump on my head, but when he debuted, I was absolutely ecstatic for not only someone coming from Rochester and making it big and in such a manner too, because it was such a big spotlight on that at the time, but also for someone I could call a friend who I had played softball with, I had spent time with, living their dream. And it's not every day someone, and everyone has a dream when they're growing up, they're gonna be a pro athlete or do this or that. And he was signed to the WWE and was on Monday Night Raw. And it was, I like Rob said, it's hard to put into words, but I was very, very, very proud for him and very happy for him.
Very cool.
I think a bunch of us went to that house show in Syracuse.
Oh yeah, we were like there. Yeah.
And actually in a WWE ring. And I remember just thinking like this doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
Like it was awesome.
It was great. It was satisfying. And I was so happy for him. But on that note, we got to take a break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic, the John Huber tribute show. Brody Lee, Luke Harper, the right stuff. Brody Lee, he's all the same guy in our heart, and we're going to miss him. And we're just telling stories about some fun times with him and everything. And something just dawned on me when I did bump into him last year at the UFC here in Rochester. It's right after Paul Heyman had got into booking Monday Night Raw. And I said to him, I said, hey, you heard Heyman's now booking Raw. Any chance we're going to see you again? Maybe he can convince you. And he said, 0%. And he's like, I said, so he was kind of at that point sent home waiting for his contract to end. But he said, I said, there's nothing they can do. He said, nothing. I said, okay. So, you know, he had something else in the pipeline at that time. And of course that was AEW. We always kind of figured, you know, we have a mutual friend, Mookie, who's the business director there, Chris Harrington, you know, a beautiful man. And, you know, I feel he's going, you know, he went through a lot, you know, being right down there with that, where everything was going on. You know, he was in the thick of it, and he's a great business director for AEW, and he also was on our show. You might remember, I don't know, it was about what, I don't know, right before March, before they were supposed to be in town. But that's one last story. How about you, Rob? You got some more of. You have another story you want to tell about? I know you kind of, it can be one you can tell on the radio.
I mean I can just pick kind of like the headline of some. I would just mention with that, like, obviously he was really close with Harrington and those guys. It just makes me think of you know, the last Dynamite of 2019 was in Corpus Christi, and the night before it I might have said this before, like Cody and I were walking over from my office to the arena, and we were talking about how Brody was going to come in and call the hockey game with me. And I was so impressed with Cody in terms of how much he knew about Rochester. And he's like, oh, so you must know Harrington. You must know this guy and stuff. And so I thought it was really cool, the Dynamite this week, that Cody got that chance to talk about him. Obviously, he saw so much of them in the ring, you know, this year and everything too. But a couple, God, I, like I said, I could do a podcast or a day straight with stories, but riding to shows, some of those memories, we were driving over the Thousand Island Bridge in a blizzard, a whiteout blizzard, and he stopped at the top of the bridge just because Cloudy was in the car, and Cloudy was already terrified of bridges in the first place, let alone in a blizzard. So he always loved to mess with people. I think about, you know, ring announcing, and where he would literally chase me out of the ring and around venues, you know, in a suit and dress shoes and everything, because he's always messing with people like that. Dropping cupcakes into our milkshakes in Florida. Our bags getting lost at O'Hare and having to wait around. And that ended up me just standing there with him as all of his WWE friends were now hanging out with him. And that was kind of a cool experience to then just be in conversation with, you know, Big E and Natalya and all these people that, you know, I didn't really have any business being in these conversations with. But we were late to a show in Montreal once because he had a C-3PO TomTom GPS that made us do about 100 U-turns, which was just hilarious. And anytime he brought it up after that, he would just get so upset. And even I just think back, it's been such a tough year, but, you know, in a couple weeks, it'll be kind of the anniversary of when he was in Texas, you know, to visit for one of the 3 or 4 days that was, and, you know, skated with the team and all that stuff. One thing that came to mind that really sucks and makes me think about this year is we were sitting down for a pregame meal, and it was John, it was me, and it was this woman, Patty, who volunteered for the hockey team, kind of running the pregame meals and stuff like that. And Patty used to always give me crap about my my man bun. And we sat down, and John sat down, and John, obviously being 6'6"-ish, had a huge man bun in. I'm like, you're not going to say anything to him? No, I'm scared of him. And like, I was like, okay, I'll just keep taking all the crap for this every game. And it's just, it sucks to think that not even a year later, both of them are gone now. You know, thinking about even that picture with Eamon Capitelli too. It's just, it's another reminder that things just kind of happen out of nowhere. Yeah. You really don't know. And I don't know, it's tough. That's, I'll cut myself off there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, and I apologize any time in the last month or so that I was wondering where he was on the air. But, I mean, they did such a really good job of not letting anybody know that. And that's good because, finding out like the way I did, I was out at a skate place this past Saturday night, last Saturday night, excuse me, I started, my phone started blowing up, and it's like, and I look, I had put it down and hit it because I didn't want to see it while I was out, like, getting some exercise in. And it's like people who I don't normally talk to often were just texting me, and it's like, and I just was stunned, and it was a good couple days of being stunned, you know. And I started, you know, going through pictures and looking for things and trying to, you know, remember. And, you know, and it's just, you know, I'm so much older than him. And one of the biggest things that went through my head is, why is someone like me live this long and him have it cut short? And it's just, you know, it's just really, you know, stupid things like that come to mind. And it's, you know, but he did leaving a lasting impression on a lot of us. You know, if everybody he's met, I'm sure he's left a lasting impression. And Danger, you have any other funny stories?
I just remember how easily it was to rile him up when he was doing the show with us, when he was Rico
and Rico.
We couldn't call him Uncle Rico. He did not like that.
No, he didn't like Uncle Rico. That's a sound I had. It was like, I'm throwing footballs, yeah. You know?
Okay. Especially when we had Vince Russo on the air.
Oh.
And it was an entire show of him and Vince Russo going back and forth. And it was one of the greatest shows I can remember us having, because he was calling Russo out and everything he was saying that was garbage. So it was just getting him to be riled up like that was always fun. We could do it in softball too. We always had the team of softball guys we would play, And the one time we had an altercation with them, and he wasn't there because he was doing a show someplace. He was very, very upset. He was not there to back us up. Yeah. So there's just,
you know,
like
you,
I said, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, well, I will say that one thing, you know, that I think he and I kind of bonded over is because my son played in the softball team, and he's like the one who got in the fight. I know you were kind of, you know, bringing that up, but and I think that's how come he and I bonded, because it's like, I think that he was from a very traditional upbringing, and that's the way I was as well. And that's the way I was doing it. And so I think, you know, and plus we both love UFC, but it's like, yeah, I remember he ended up being like an all-star first baseman in our league too. And it's like, and then there's some, you know, many people we used to play with now that say, man, I play with a guy that's on WWE every Monday night. They used to they used to take a lot of pride in that.
I kid you not. So I haven't played in 5 years because of destroying my ankle now. But when I was still playing, up until the last week I was playing, I would have umpires who were former players or umpires we had in our league in Henrietta who would come up and ask how he's doing and all that kind of stuff. Every single week I would hear that, because they would remember that John was in the league, and they knew him from that, and they just happened to know he became a star. And that was always cool to have that happen. And I don't know how he got so good at softball, because when he started, he was terrible, and it was like a switch hit, and he was great.
Yeah, well, I think it's the thing is, I always felt he was a guy who felt he could do anything. You know, he felt he could do a talk show, and that's why he joined us. He thought he could do it, and he joined us and did it. You know, he thinks he can do a lot of things, so I thought it was great. But on the note, one note, I'm going to go to break with this. This is a little piece that WWE put up about before they were stars, and this is John Huber talking about collecting some of his figures.
It's cool to me and I hold on to so much stuff from my wrestling that I have the card from when I wrestled Undertaker. I have posters. I have all the posters we've been on. I have all my figures. And I have them not for me, but someday I maybe want to hand them to my son and say, hey, here. And if he wants it or not, but I've been given the opportunity to give that to him. And he's one of the biggest fans in the world, so for him to be able to see what I've done and the person that it's made me, I can't really describe it. It's. I guess if I had a goal in life, it was to be as good a dad as my dad, and I think I'm on my way. And I guess for me to be able to do that, it's super special. As much as, you know, you want to talk about, like, John Huber as a person, Huber Boy 2, Brody Lee, Luke Harper are all Jonathan Huber, and I'm that because of those three personalities, I guess, and it's professional wrestling. Made me what I am. It's very powerful.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. It's the John Huber tribute show. We lost a brother in arms for the world wrestling world this past week, and Rochesterian on top of all that, guy we all know and love, and we are here to talk a little bit about things about him that we, maybe you didn't know. Or, I mean, maybe we couldn't talk about before, you know, with the whole Rico thing we talked about. That was kind of like, you know, I mean, we've hinted at it, but it's never been more evident than he was probably a good year. He was doing Rico on the show, but he and I would email, and he's like, I can't come this week. I got to do this. I can't. I'm in this week. I'm not in this week. So I used to, you know, it wasn't like anything regular, but he definitely wanted to keep on doing it. But let's talk a little bit about the AEW tribute this past Wednesday night, man. I've never seen anything like that, you know. It was really, it reminded me of other tributes I've seen, but nothing to that extent. guys have thoughts about the tribute show? I mean, it was, you know, besides the fact that we were going through boxes of tissues as well, because, I mean, when I saw Eric Rowan show up and Eric Rowan was crying in the ring, I just lost it. So, what did you think of the tribute?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful show. For being someone as young as I am and really not getting a chance to know him, really all I seen him was from his, you know, runs with WWE, but then seeing him flourish and blossom, you know, as the Mr. Brody Lee character on AEW, and then all these tributes and getting to really see a side of him that I never knew, it was awesome. It brings that Rochester pride, you know, the Rochester community, and then seeing the wrestling community bond together in a very difficult time, especially with the year that 2020 has brought us, to be able to have a beautiful moment like that, which was going to be obviously the last episode of 2020 for AEW Dynamite, just seeing everybody come together and have that special show.
Sure. Artis, what do you think?
I think just to piggyback off of that, I think about, you know, I mentioned the last Dynamite of 2019 was in Corpus Christi. And if you remember, that show ended with a very heavily criticized Dark Order segment. And the final Dynamite of 2020 put, because of him, Dark Order is super over. He contributed so much. The tribute was amazing. AEW did a phenomenal job. I think they did a really great job of showing the John that we knew. The type of guy that, I mean, his son looked at him like an absolute superhero every single time he saw him. And I just think they did such a good job of not just talking about the wrestling, but talking about the person and really showing what he was. And all I can say is, even before this week, before he passed, everybody that I know that had met him, you know, non-wrestling fans that maybe met him at the hockey game, you know, or other, you know, situations and stuff, they always talked about you met him for a minute or 5 minutes or whatever, and you felt like you're friends with him. He was so nice with everybody. He was just that type of person that the fame and all that stuff never changed him at all. He's just such a good dude. And the tribute was amazing. I've already started to rewatch bits and pieces of it, and it hits even more, you know, kind of watching it alone as opposed to, you know, with my roommates who are friends with him as well. But it's just, that's an episode I know I'm gonna watch back a lot, and every time it's gonna be really difficult. But they did an unbelievable job, and you know, they signed Little Brody to a contract.
Yeah,
like I came across an Instagram video of him and I when he was, I think, one, playing with a Daniel Bryan action figure and doing the little yes thing in his little one-year-old voice and stuff. And that kid is already signed to a contract. Man, that makes me feel old. But it's
danger.
Props to Tony Khan and all of them. They just did. Yeah. They absolutely knocked it out of the park.
Definitely. Danger, what'd you think?
I can't add any more than anyone else has. It was awesome. I'm glad they put a spotlight on the reason why everybody loved him. John was, no one has a bad thing to say. Everybody is extremely upset because John was one of those guys that you just loved. And I'm glad they were able to do that in such a way that everybody could notice it. And I can't add anything to anyone said that. It was amazing.
How about you, DC?
Yeah, again, I don't want to rehash what's been said because, you know, what more is there to say? And not to take the focus off of John or Brody Lee, but, you know, going into this and AEW being so new, you would have thought they'd been doing this forever, the way they did this show. And, you know, I didn't know much about Tony Khan, you know, before AEW, but seeing the effort he personally put in, you know, rewriting the entire show, getting his family's input, letting, you know, Brody pick what people he wanted to see in the main event, you know, offering the kid a contract, giving him the actual title and retiring that design. And then, you know, finding out that the tribute video they did, you know, Tony's like, I don't want it to ever go away. So I also went out and purchased the rights to the song that we used. I mean, just the effort and the lengths that were just really, they went all out on this. And it was, unbelievable. And if you would ask me, you know, hey, would you be interested in going to work for Tony Khan? In a heartbeat,
yes,
based on what I've seen this week.
Yeah, well, guys,
I just want to add really, really quick. I know we're running out of time. I want to give a shout out and a tribute to Amanda. John's wife. We've known her for forever. I've known her just as long as John, and she was unbelievable. And the way she held it together and participated in the tribute, she's an incredible mother. I know she's an incredible wife to John, everything else. I feel so terrible for her. She's just an awesome person, and just my absolute best goes out to her and her entire family.
Guys, we're out of time, and I just want to say, John Huber, we love you. I love you. I love your family. Please, God bless you and everyone. You're a family, and hopefully everyone, you know, can get past this, and we'll see you next week here on the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.